Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network, with Van Burnett and Steve Gisuelli.
Welcome back, everyone. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 108. Today's Thursday, July 13th. Happy All-Star Break, everybody, and happy All-Star Break to you as well, Steve. Got a fun show, kind of a tradition at this point here in year three, where, of course, we're looking at some fantasy all-stars, but we usually put a little bit of a different spin on it, where we're not just looking at the guys on the actual all-star roster or the very best of the best. We're kind of looking at values. So all-stars that really, I guess, moved up the boards for you this season. You didn't have high expectations, and these might be the ones that you could also define in a way as league winners, because it's kind of found money. It's going to be a great show format. We're running through one at each position, and we'll kind of break down certain ones more than others, but really looking forward to it, and thankful as always to have you guys here with us. You can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I'm at Van_Verified. Steve is at Stav8818. Steve, how's it going, man?
Good. Mixing it up here. It's doing this on a Sunday night as we record this. I mean, it's a whole 5 days without real baseball, or I guess four.
Hopefully we're not too out of date with any topics, because
it's pretty much, you know,
we'll miss the game itself between now and runtime.
That's really the only thing, if there's any news, but it's nice to record a day or two early and not have something that's, you know, not time relevant or anything like that. But, you know, I know that there's a million shows that are probably going to do All-Stars. I think we tried to put a little different spin on it last year. I think we did like the actual fantasy All-Star team and then like an all-value team. Now we're doing this blind as far as you and I. We haven't looked at each other's squads, can compare that way. It's fun. Like two shows in a row we're doing like off-the-cuff live sort of normally we have our full notes and everything like that in front of us and all prepared and put together great rundowns, and now we're like some off the cuff stuff. It's fun. It's a nice change up though. I think it's a cool way to look at this, to have some comparisons and different perspectives. I'm sure we will have some overlaps, but interested to see who we differ on, who we chose for each position. And yeah, I mean, if you have these guys, like, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, you're happy with them, and it's fun to talk about some of these names on the show too, Steve, because it seems like more often than not we're talking about kind of fringe roster guys or weekly ads, and these are guys that for the most part should be rostered, like you're mentioning. And the same was with last week too, with the show kind of going off script for Underdog Fantasy. I'm looking forward to it, man. I got to ask before we jump in, general thoughts on the All-Star game, on All-Star break, because on one hand, it is cool. It is baseball, the summer classic. Like, you know, I've got memories growing up of Griffey with the backwards hat. You know, just some of the moments that, like, stand out. More recently, you know, Pete Alonso getting a couple of the home run derbies, but you know, do you generally look forward to All-Star break? Is this like a nice chance to catch your breath, or are you just dying because you're looking at your phone for stats every 5 seconds and, you know, it's more of a pain than a win?
A little bit of both. It's nice to take a breath. But to quote our boy TJ, your buddy from home, WAF listener, he tweets out basically, I think, like once a week that fantasy baseball is not for the faint of heart. And it is not. And it is a very frustrating game. And as much as I love it, it is like my number one hobby in the world. I wouldn't trade it. You know, it's the thing I love to do the most with my free time.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it's different than it's tolling. It's tolling. It's not for the faint of heart. TJ is very, very right there. So it's nice to catch a break. Like, it's frustrating. You know, you make moves every day. Some work out, some don't. You know, not to make this about me, but, you know, my home league, I'm in second place, like, you know, having a great year. But I have just been frustrated with my team all year and, like, you know, trying to make the right moves and trading for Trout a week before he gets hurt. Like, those mm-hmm. things happen, and it's very, very frustrating. And it's different than fantasy football because that's just, like, once, you know, the games are once a week. This is every single day, and it's a grind. And, like, whether you're in head-to-head or roto, head-to-head trying to scrape out whatever categories you have, roto trying to do whatever you can to, you know, go up the standings, weekly fab leagues where you have to, you know, dedicate a lot of time to make fab bids and change your roster and make sure you're doing the proper things for the short term and for the long term. It's a grind, and you feel it by now, and it comes at a great time. But that being said, it's Sunday night at 9:15, and I am devastated that there's not a box score to check while we're doing the show right now. So a little bit of both.
Yeah, I hear you. It's well said. I think it'll be nice. I mean, the reason we're recording so early, I'm going to San Diego, which a little bummed that there's also not games.
Yeah, so I could go. Yeah, the Padre game. Yeah,
I went a few years ago, but it was pre-Tatis, like 5 years ago. So yeah, it would have been nice. But without further ado, Steve, let's get into the mix. So how we're gonna do this is, again, position by position. Steve and I will go back and forth and talk about these guys. We have not looked at each other's lists here, but this is not just the best at every position. This is value-based for fantasy. So starting out with catcher, Steve, feel like you could go a couple different ways with this, mm-hmm. and I feel like we got a WAF favorite. Did you go with Jonah Heim as your catcher for the All-Star? Okay, well, talk to me about Jonah Heim, man. I put him, but I put it back up because I know that we're like the Heim podcast. Because we were probably 2 years early on him, and we've loved him ever since.
I have no shares. I don't think I have any shares. Yeah, of course. Like,
yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I need to listen to my advice from years before and then just do that each year. I don't know. Heim is awesome, man. 282, 333, 474, 12 homers. And then where I think, like, you know, in my league settings, I know this is different. Like, when you go to, like, your rankings in Yahoo or Fantrax or whatever format, like, you know, there's always the rankings. And that's kind of how I built this list. I went to my league page and just, like, looked at top-ranked guys and then compared mm-hmm. it to where they were for ADP. But Jonah Heim's the number one catcher in my format. It's pretty standard, a 7x7, like, you know, add hits and OPS. But other than that, like, you know, no, like, singles or triples or anything like that. But he is the number one catcher in my formats. And a lot of that has to do with the 42 runs and 59 RBIs, right? Like,
wow,
crazy. That's what, 101 total RBIs and runs already. If I did that math right,
yes,
it's for a catcher. That's
102.
You usually, like, because catchers don't play every day, like, you don't really care too much about those totals, but that's crazy, crazy good totals for a catcher, and Heim has been awesome. Good in OBP, too. I mean, 338 isn't horrible, and sometimes catchers have a hard time with that, but Heim looks legit. Like, the signs were there, like, from that. What threw him onto us? Like, four homer stretch in 2020 season that we were talking about.
Yeah, the long weekend. The long weekend where he had like four homers and he had like three to the warning track during that time.
Yeah.
And we kind of took a closer look. So he's probably like 25 at that time. I remember you were saying because was he a prospect for the Athletics? And he was on your radar, but I was the one kind of digging in on his Savant videos of even like his outs. So yeah, we've loved Heim, but we can't pretend that we knew this was coming where, like you said, I mean, he's more or less on pace for 190 runs plus RBIs. Now that's if the Rangers can stay as hot as they have been, but man, he's a ton. And the switch hitter, he hits homers to
plays
to all
a lot,
fields.
Right?
Yeah. And I guess like when you look at the longevity and just a quick look under the hood, I mean, the barrel rate and everything isn't like through the roof, but the hit tool is definitely there. And the power is not an accident. Like we've talked about in the past, the max EV is, you know, multiple times back-to-back seasons up above 110. This year's XBA is 270. So I think probably true talent, like when we get into next year, this is a 20 to 25 homer guy, and the average is probably 265 plus because, he's got
this
good
is probably
skills.
The top, but it's still, I think, a
top
good
five catcher probably
going forward,
with the lineup context,
Well,
and you mentioned he's hitting 282. That was also his ADP was 282. Mm-hmm. So huge value for Jonah Heim there. Mine on the backup there, because I did have Heim, but was of course, Sean Murphy.
Yep.
And he was a little bit more pricey on draft day. But if you took Sean Murphy right in that range we were talking about, Steve, because we were out on the first two or three catchers this year with like Adley, Sal, and JT Realmuto. But we said we wanted to get in on the mighty middle, and Sean Murphy's ADP was 109. But of course, he has been, you know, doing everything with the Braves. It's actually been a stinger for me because I had Travis d'Arnaud in a handful of leagues. But Sean Murphy hitting 306 on the year with a 999 OPS, seven homers, and he himself has 97 runs plus RBIs, mainly with the 55 RBIs there. So unlike Heim, Murphy's StatCast page is just bright, bright red. You know, they're both 28 years old. So I think long term, Sean Murphy feels like he will be like an SP one or two if he can keep this up, because a lot of no doubter homers, and the XBA kind of is right there with it. His 306 average, his XBA is 300. So great breakout this year for Sean Murphy, a guy who already was promising last year with the 18 homers and hit 250, but he's pretty much at that home run total halfway through the season. So yeah, that was mine for Sean Murphy. Not sure if you got anything to add there, Steve, but I know we got a lot of names to go through.
Lesson learned for me on Murphy. I was all over him last year. He got off to a super, super slow start. Like, I think he hit like, he was hitting like close to like 150 in May or something like that. And
that's right. He was dropped. And
and I was definitely one of those guys that dropped him and sort of didn't get rid of my bias for the tough stretch that I had last year. Of course, he had a really, really good, few months. I think he had like, a seven homer, 900 OPS month that ended up bringing up that stat line, considering he was a drop in April and May. The fact that he had 18 homers and 250 showed how good he was in other months. I think I need to be a little bit better about throwing out being burned on some guys in prior years. So, another one that, I expected Murphy to be good and going to a better lineup and ballpark, but, close to 1,000 OPS, crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'll take first dibs on first base here, Steve. I don't think this will be an overlap, but maybe. And homer alert, this is my boy. This is a guy I've loved for years and years, and he finally put it together this year, which I'm very, very happy about. It's Yandy Diaz with the Tampa Rays. I know there's been a little bit of a power drought in the past month, but for all the years we were waiting for him to unlock some power, it finally has happened, at least to some extent so far this season, with 13 home runs. The average, which you've always loved Yandy's contact skills, despite looking like an action figure, he's hitting 323 on the season with a 923 OPS. And with the powerful Rays offense, he's got 58 runs, 43 RBI. You know, there's a little bit of frustration with Yandy because even though he doesn't get injured, it feels like he gets a healthy scratch at one out of every 6 days, or he's got something that they're kind of nursing. But again, the fact that he's kind of pairing it all together with the plate discipline, his contact percentage is 89th percentile, his O swing is 90th percentile, sixth in the league in hard contact. So you look at like the fact that he hits the hell out of the ball and he has such good plate discipline. The XBA is 300 underneath the surface. So really love what Diaz is doing. And the ADP at the start of the year was 273 for Diaz. So not sure what it'll look like at the end of the year. I mean, I don't know if it's as clean as saying, you know, double the home run total with how it's gone down. He just has one in the past month. But even if he gets north of 20 homers, I think you're still looking at Diaz as a must roster with the counting stats and the average. So love Yandy and had to give him a shout for first half value all-star for me for first base.
Yeah. Well, definitely deserving. I mean, the ground ball rate is back up to a 63.8% on the 15-day rolling average, and it's kind of been in that area since...
Yeah, the launch angle's down from last year, unfortunately.
Since June. So it's been crazy how it spiked back up. There was like a, you know, around game 20, it was like around 30%. And, you know, we thought that it was finally happening, but... Hey, without it last year, Yandy Diaz was still, without it being, you know, the fly balls and homers, he was still a really good fantasy player just because of the average and the ability to take a walk and the counting totals. Like, he's not one of the Rays that are platooned every day. Yeah, he has. He's been banged up, especially recently, and that's sort of coincided with the ground ball rate, so maybe there's something going on there in the All-Star break. Yeah. Can heal him up a little bit, and maybe we'll start to see some more fly balls. But even with the slight uptick in power, like, you know, you should expect at least five more home runs the rest of the way.
I was going to ask 18. Over under like 17 and a half. You'd count on it. Yeah.
You know, if you had Diaz's line last year with 17 homers, like, you know, you sign up for that right away because he was still really good without the homers last year with this, what, 9 I think he had last year. So, goes to show you how just a little bit, like, it doesn't matter the shape of it, he's going to get there, especially in roto leagues.
Well, and he hit one today. It's got to be noted as we record on Sunday, monster day, 3-for-5 homer, 4 RBIs. So he's kind of cementing his spot here.
Yeah.
Putting a punctuation mark.
He doesn't need to double his home run totals the rest of the way. This is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Deserving. All right.
On to you, Steve, for first base.
Another one of my boys, another guy that I love and hype up here and have no shares of, but Christian Walker.
Okay.
He was the 9th first baseman taken, 182 ADP.
For how much we liked him.
Yep, 38 homers last year, and he's doing it again. He has 265, 336, 512. So the average is even better, more of what we saw in the second half last year. 18 homers, 46 runs, 58 RBIs, and he's chipped in 6 stolen bases without even being caught, too. So kind of like a prime Goldschmidt light type season going on here from Christian Walker. Wish I would have paid more attention to and targeted more. It was just, you know, such a concern to get a top first baseman for me in drafts, and kind of didn't focus on a value there in Christian Walker. But I think he has been absolutely awesome, part of the reason why the Diamondbacks are so good this year. And he's just become a really steady player at first base.
Yeah, the 6 steals is wild. Mm-hmm. You would love to see that continue. I think a show note, though, Steve, because I got at least the NFBC ADP through March, and I've got Walker at 124 ADP. So I don't know if that
I had him at 128.
Okay. I thought you said 188 or 68 or something. No, 128. Like, well, okay, gotcha.
Sorry if I misspoke there earlier. But
No. You're good. Yeah, Walker, he's been another guy who's kind of up and down. Like, what was his bad... I guess April, just a 724 OPS.
Yeah, but probably then was a good really buying opportunity too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And to see the power, the average, a little bit of speed. And yeah, it's been a surprisingly great season for the D-backs. So the counting stats right there with it, with the 58 RBIs. So yeah, Walker is a ton, and I don't see much changing. I guess if he wanted to squint, like his barrel rate and his hard hit rate have been down a little bit from where they were last year. So I don't know. Are we putting any stock into that? I feel like we know he's a bopper. You know,
it's tough because last year his stats, his Statcast page, as I'm pulling it up, was ridiculously like bright red. Like that's what kind of turned us on to him, right? So the max EV is still good. Yeah. I mean, it was really good last year. It's good this year. You know, the K percentage has improved, so maybe he's trading some of that there for you know, and still able to tap into his power when he can. You know, sometimes that's hard to see, like, right, with Cody Bellinger as an example, right? Like, his Statcast page is, like, far less impressive than it's been, like, ever. But clearly something's working, and he's, like, trading that, you know, those strikeouts for some softer contact, which... yeah, it's going to make those sliders look a little blue, but if you're not striking out as much, there's a way to sort of balance that. That isn't going to get caught in the slider. So, I'm still in and a buyer of what Christian Walker is doing.
Totally fair. Let's move around the diamond to second base. I'll lead us off here, Steve, and ask you if we got the same Luis Arraez at second.
I do not have,
okay,
Luis
Arraez. All right. Well,
you know,
I play
in leagues with more than one category.
And that helps my narrative a little bit with Arraez, because the ADP 203 in the month of March, and that was, you know, what everybody was saying, that it's like, you know, this is hollow average, and he was kind of the Stephen Kwan before Stephen Kwan. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a guy that I wish I would have held on to my love for him when he was with the Twins. I thought that he would be kind of a cheat code for fantasy, especially, you know, my home league setting, Steve, where we, mm-hmm. you know, value singles, strikeouts, walks, all that stuff. So guys who strike out as rarely as a guy like Kwan or Arraez. Arraez has just a 5.3% strikeout rate this season, for what it's worth. But yeah, those guys get bumped up in my home league, so I'm always kind of watching for him. But Arraez, I got to admit, I had kind of moved on and just thought, yeah, he'll probably bat, you know, 305, but everything else is going to look pretty puny. And the 40 runs, the 42 RBIs is good enough to go with the 383 average. And that's really all you got to say. The fact that he has just three home runs and a 905 OPS, I think speaks volumes. First guy I can remember, Steve, in a while that at All-Star break has had a legit shot at hitting 400. Maybe that's a short-term memory that I'm forgetting somebody who is this high at All-Star break, but pretty crazy. And I'll say what else is crazy is that Arraez is just 26 years old. Like at this point, for some reason, I'm kind of viewing him as like, I don't know, a 29-year-old, kind of getting to the vet years, but he still is kind of entering, not that it matters for him, like a power peak or power prime, but in general, just as an athlete, like what's left for Arraez as a hitter? Is it just to hit 400 at this point? Because everything he's done leading up to this has been, you know, he's hit 334, 321, 316, and this year 383. So Gotta give him his flowers here at All-Star break. It's been an insane first half of the year for Arraez.
I don't know if there's ever been a lower ISO with a higher OPS. An 89.089 ISO and a 915 OPS. That is just absolutely crazy. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It was more tongue in cheek. It is definitely deserving and absolutely amazing with what he is doing.
So say he keeps it up, but he doesn't, not at this clip. Say he finishes the season a 360 hitter, you know, 85-85 and like six homers. Where does a profile like that go in drafts? Because also you're not getting speed. So like, is that, I feel like DJ LeMahieu was kind of like that with the Rockies, where
he goes way too high. Because he's not going to carry a 403 BABIP. It's going to go back down to his career average of 350, 330.
But does that stat line end up being like a fourth round guy, would you guess, next year?
I would guess it would be my biggest fade, but I would guess it would go around there, yeah.
All right, give me your second baseman, Steve. That's Arias. Shout out, and 400 would be pretty cool.
I'll take your one category and raise it 5 to 5 because I'm going with Ketel Marte, who is at 286, 363, 494 with 15 homers, 6 stolen bases, 62 runs, and 44 RBIs. He was the 19th second baseman off the board at a 199 ADP. I know we're looking at slightly different ADPs, but probably pretty close there. Marte is like exactly we talked about him on a recent show, right? I think two or three shows ago. But this is what we hoped from prime Ketel Marte when he broke out in 2019. Even with like a little more speed, right? Like that kind of went away in the shortened year in 2021. So he's putting it all together, and he's finally healthy for the first time since that shortened season, which was kind of disappointing. Was good in 2021, but didn't stay healthy. Last year was a disaster, and everyone was then out on him. And now he's already got, more home runs than he did in 137 games last year, 6 less runs, and like 30 less hits. It's crazy. 26 less hits than he did already in about 50 less games. So he is back to what we expected, and a 5 category contributor once again. Maybe maybe with steals being up, sixes, it's non-zero. The fact that it takes more to be a contributor than these days because steals are up so much. But Marte has been really, really good, and I think deserving of a value all-star pick.
Yeah, and I think just looking at compared to last year, just a quick shout to his improvement on breaking balls, where last year he had 143 plate appearances against the breaking balls, and at least that's when they were thrown, and just 2 homers. So a 295 slug against breaking balls this year, 7 homers and a 549 slug against the breaking balls. So the batting average looks a lot better too. So like to see that he's kind of corrected whatever was going on there. But love Marte, Steve. Yeah, we talked about him on a recent show. And just a note, you've now gone back-to-back D-backs. So let's just see how many you got here, or we have, because you could make an argument down the line here, but let's keep it rolling. Steve, I'm going to throw it back to you let's go third base here for the All-Star squad.
Sticking with a team that I've already used, but not the Diamondbacks, I'm going to the Rangers. That's Josh Jung. He has quietly put together an awesome first half with 19 homers, 62 runs, 56 RBIs, 280, 331, 504. Yes, there is a lot of K's in his game, and the K's have gone up recently, but it still really hasn't affected him. He's had a bunch of homers in recent days. So it reminds me of like
pre-plate discipline Austin Riley, maybe?
Yeah, but like exactly. I was saying Riley, but like, Riley
the year he broke
the breakout Austin Riley. Just he's been really good. I mean, maybe there is another step with the K's, but it isn't bothering him now. He was the 19th third baseman off the board, a 218 ADP. Does everything you want to do as far as like batted ball quality. The max EV is surprisingly like kind of, it's 54th percentile, only a 109 max EV, but it really doesn't matter. Top 10 average exit velocity, which I know has its flaws, but hard hit percentage, 88th percentile. All the XBA is great despite the K's. Just has the absolute great raw power. This is, everything you could have hoped for and more for Josh Jung.
Yeah, there's more of his homers than not are no doubters. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not worried about that either, Steve. Just looking, the 28% K rate. I mean, it's encouraging, really, that he's got a 274 XBA with that much mm-hmm. there. So it must be what the line drive rate. Holy smokes.
I mean, we've 31%. Seen so many of these types of hitters, you know, it's like as long as they can keep it under 30, and like that's what he's doing, right? Like that's what Austin Riley first did before the extreme plate discipline improvement.
Yeah, it's a good one. And yeah, I know he had a little bit of a lull in June, so it's nice to see him in, you know, the small sample we've seen in July, right the ship and bring some homers in. I was kind of curious if I could get there. I'm not going to be able to. It's kind of dragging. Yeah, I wanted to see line drive rate leaders because he's way up there with 31%. So that's when you add that with his hard hit rate, hard to argue for sure. I'm going for a Cincinnati Red here, Steve, and it's Spencer Steer. It. And this is one that
I got you know, line driver. I got line drive rate on Fangraphs
leaderboard
up there. Yeah, yeah. I know it's a little different. You're the leader in line drive at 29.4%. Again, this is on Fangraphs. Luis Arias, 29.4%. Okay. You're right though. Josh Young is up there, 24.6%, 13th in the league behind Mike Trout, just ahead of his teammate Leody Tavares, Andrew Benintendi, Jerickson Profar, Justin Turner. So guys that you know line the ball, which is
yeah. Good. But of those names, who above him is like a slugger? I guess Trout.
Trout. I mean Freeman's not really a slugger. That's really it. I mean Rizzo is up there too.
Sure. Yeah. But that's kind of I think that's the point too. It's like something that we like about
Seems like he's got a great, like, yes, there's swing and miss in his game, but there's also like a hit tool in there, which, you know, I think hit tool could be defined in different ways. So, the fact that he's lining the ball that's going to lead to him not having like a Max Muncy line more like, J.E. Martinez, Mike Trout. Not saying he's Mike Trout, but better average with high Ks.
Yep. Yeah, I like it. So jumping back to Spencer Steer, this one I'm kind of – it stings because we were talking about him early enough to where he was widely available, Steve, and I remember us saying
– yep.
I think you specifically said there's – like the more we talk about Steer, there's not a roster I have that I wouldn't want him on my team. And for some reason, yeah, I just never –
We got to go back to that show and like – play it for me that. When I dropped him, and now my buddy Sal is reaping the benefits. Yeah.
Yes, and it's a little too late now, and you gotta tip the hat that he has been kind of the unsung hero of this Reds renaissance on the first half of the season, if you will. 280 average, 854 OPS, 14 homers, 9 steals, a 45 run, 51 RBI on the counting stats. It's just been super impressive from Steer, at least on the surface line. You can kind of poke some holes in it that the barrel rate is not that great. But the BABIP is just 314, which isn't insane. And the plate discipline is pretty good. I mean, he definitely takes a walk. Look at his pitcherless page, 87th percentile in O swing. And I think it was just, was it maybe 23% swing strike? But yeah, Steer's been, point is, he's been a stud. Even if his Savant page doesn't light up, he definitely deserves the credit here. And I'm pretty interested to see what happens here, Steve, because if he does cool off a little bit, you know, I think that there's enough in his profile that I'd be interested in like a target in next year's drafts, because it's a great offense all of a sudden to have exposure to. So, yeah, had to throw out Spencer Steer for that one.
Yeah, I mean, 14 homers, 9 stolen bases with a K rate of 18.3% and a walk rate of 11.3%. That is a recipe for success, despite the fact that the batted ball quality isn't, like, amazing. Still a decent max EV, 65th percentile, barrels enough, and in that home park, like,
yeah,
you're going to get the most out of it. Plus, he looks like a pulled fly ball guy. If you look at his spray charts, like, all of his home runs are to, like, left center, down the line. Left center down the line as a righty. So Yeah, it looks like he knows exactly when to swing for the fences, how to get the most out of those, you know, like the Nolan Arenado blueprint, the NAB. I don't know if that rolls off the tongue like the Blake Snell, Snell blueprint, but getting the most out of the pulled fly balls with that hit tool and plate discipline is good stuff. So I like Spencer Steer a lot.
All right. Well, we will round out with shortstop, but first we are going to take our first ad break and we'll be right back.
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. And that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Okay, so Steve, you know, I know we got a lot of names to still go through here, so I can do kind of the snake draft style and go again here. It should be an easy one because it's his teammate and everyone in the world knows that Ellie De La Cruz is about as exciting as you could dream up a baseball player. And yeah, I think this is more just a statement one. Obviously, his ADP was kind of non-existent, but I feel like he was even undervalued a little bit as a prospect. You know, he was highly touted, but I don't think anyone fully saw that he would come in and look more like Tatis Jr. than like a poor man's O'Neill Cruz or something. And just, I mean, obviously it's ridiculous. We've all seen it, but in 30 games, so multiply any of these stats by five just for fun. He has four homers, so there's 20, 16 steals after stealing every base on the single the other day. That was incredible when he stole home. So yeah, he's about on pace for about 70 steals, and he's hitting .325 while he's at it. So yeah, had to throw Ellie on there just because if you got him, no matter how you got him or what you had to give up for him, you've got, what, maybe a top three, top five shortstop. You should the rest of the way. So shout out there, and Ellie is an all-star in my book.
Where are you taking him next year?
Oh, man. Second round, I think, unless we see, like, a total slump, which I don't even know. Will he last then? Or is he a first-round guy?
In a league with me, I don't think he would.
Because I remember the trepidation first that happened. It was the same thing with Tatis Jr., where in that next year, his ADP was, like, 18 or 20 overall.
Yeah.
So, like, mid-late. And I remember all the experts. I was probably in the mix of saying, like, oh, way too much volatility. Like, it's going to, like, people are reaching because of the sizzle. And, like, some players just have the gift, man. And, like, yeah, it just seems like every night he wants to do things that will help your fantasy team, which is a great thing. It's like when you hear, I don't know, Acuna say that he's actively trying for a 40-40 season, and you're like, oh, please, give me all that. So, yeah, I think I would probably take him around that middle of the second round, and I bet I won't have a lot of shares.
Yeah, I think I'd do it in the first. I think he's that good. I surprisingly didn't go Ellie. I should have, but glad we have another name to talk about. I went with Wander Franco. 278, nice. 338, 459, 11 homers, 28 steals, 49 runs, 44 RBIs. Like, this is kind of the prime Wander Franco that we were all like dreaming on last year, and then the injuries sort of derailed him a bit, or a lot last year. He just could never really get going. Then there was like that concern too, like I think he like was missed one of the early games too with a groin that left him out all last year, but it seems like he's figured out a way to manage that turf in Tropicana. I mean, he's 100 percentile outs above average, too, which is crazy. That just goes to show you how good of an athlete he is. Yeah, the power might be slightly disappointing, but maybe he'll start to tap into that a bit more. I think he's also a little bit unlucky, too, as far as the average. The XBA is up to 289. He's only hitting 278. So with that, the OPS
I remember, Steve, because Franco was a name. I remember vividly our Spore podcast because that was such a cool moment. And I remember we brought up Franco and we were kind of talking about like he would need to take a step forward somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think we were all in the camp of like, oh, if he can be a 20 homer guy, he might do everything else well enough to where that's all he needs to do to be like a top 50 type of player. But I feel like I'm taking the 11 homers at this point, but what's crazy to me is in his previous major league career, he's got 153 games. In that time, just 10 stolen bases on 11 attempts. And now in half of that, right, 86 games so far, 28 steals. Yeah, he's been caught stealing eight times, so he's attempted 36.
I know you love that. You love the stolen base attempt total, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this just seems like a poster boy for taking advantage of the new run environment. With the sprint speed, at least on Savant, has been 59th percentile. I feel like he's probably faster than that, right? But maybe it is just related to kind of, you know, being a little bit more mature about how to handle the groin and everything. But, yeah, clearly the guy's a base runner. So, yeah, this is another one that's probably going to be what – you think a first rounder or maybe like around the turn if he keeps it up?
Yeah, I think
it's tough to project at this stage because we were saying the same stuff about
and like
Jesse
the line
Winker.
Is going to be so like if he even if he double like let's say I know this isn't the greatest exercise, but if he doubles the line, right, and it's 280 with an 800 OPS, 22 homers.
Call it 50 40
steals.
Yeah, 45, something like that.
Yeah, like that line is going to be hard to I think it'll be a back end first rounder, like on the turn. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. I like that one. I'm glad, like you said, we get to talk other names. Okay. At this stage, we're moving to the outfield, and I know we got to pick up on time, so I can help again here with another kind of laugher and fun one because you think value and you think like sleepers. My first one, Steve, is
on my
a
list
bit of
too.
A joke that the top overall pick, Ronald Acuña Jr., is still a value for the ridiculousness he's putting up. 331 average, a 990 OPS, 21 homers, 41 steals, 79 runs, 55 RBIs. And yeah, I know I was joking that I was all, grumpy because I had him last year, which was the only season where he had like a 776 OPS and not like high 900s. Mm-hmm. But it's hard not to just love what this guy's doing and remembering he's 25 years old. We're watching a future Hall of Famer and it's incredible. So yeah, not sure if there's anything to add. Did you have him on your list as well?
I did. And my question was, is this the best fantasy season ever? But it also might not be the best fantasy season this year because if you play in a league where Ohtani is one player, that is probably the best fantasy season ever, which is absolutely crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, I might have to jump in here, Steve, because I know you kind of started playing more in like the past 15 years or something, but just to throw out that 2001 Barry Bonds season, a 328 average, 73 homers, 137 RBIs, 177 walks if you're in a walks league, 515 OBP. I don't know. I might take
steals?
Bonds
How many
there,
steals was it? Was it four categories?
No, he had 13. He had 13 right, yeah, steals yeah. there. I mean, so he's up there, but
I think this
Acuña's got
this
a shot at
argument.
It.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, if he has 70 steals and 40 homers, that's got an argument too, and I think Ohtani does as well with 32 homers, 11 steals, a 1050 OPS, and a 110 whip with a 333 ERA, 132 strikeouts and 100 innings. So those two I think have valid arguments even up to the 74 homers. I know that might sound blasphemy, but
no, whatever. You're right.
They're in the Hall of Fame of fantasy seasons already.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And right, I know so we didn't have a spot for Ohtani particularly. I didn't have him on my pitchers list. It was more values, but glad we
talked about.
No,
I didn't put him here either.
Glad but we talked about Acuna and Ohtani on this show.
Okay, mine that I actually want to dive in here. With a 112 ADP in March, I feel like very quietly we are seeing a fantastic resurgence, a bit of a redefinition, a throwback to Christian Yelich, good Christian Yelich, who now has a 285 batting average, an 834 OPS, which is fine, 11 homers, like we were saying with Wander Franco, like it's fine. But the 21 steals from Yelich is incredible. For a guy his age with the health problems. And then you look at the counting stats because he's now hitting leadoff, 66 runs and 46 RBIs. So, again, when you were looking at Yelich, I think you thought it would be kind of that stuff and things, Ben Zobrist mold where he kind of helps a little bit everywhere. But if he can turn in like a 20-35 season, he's going to get 105 runs in his sleep. And the average up at 285, like this is kind of pre-launch angle 40 homer Yelich, which was a really good player. But even by those standards, obviously the running environment is helping here, but he's probably on pace for the best year he would have ever had with the Marlins. So this is great to see. I'm not sure really what it means for redraft, because how much are you going to continue to bank on Yelich stealing? As he's now, what, like 30? Is he 32? I'll look that up.
He
but Yelich,
is
yeah,
31. 31. It's, yeah. But
31, but he feels like an old 31. So yes. I don't know. I might be a little nervous, but I do have to give him the shout out. The hard hit rate is, you know, back up to where, you know, the last 2 years it was around 48, 49%. It's 53.5 this year. So, yeah, just a big shout out to Yelich, and his XBA is 299, so it could look even better. So Yelich was one of mine, Steve, if you want to add anything to that or hit on your second outfielder.
This looks like, you know, breakout Yelich that is like a slight launch angle away from like becoming MVP Yelich again. Like that's how good his batted ball metrics are and his Statcast and pitcher list pages are. Everything is bright red all over the place there. The one thing that jumps out is the 56.8% ground ball rate, 17% fly ball rate. You saw what happened when he got just to like a 28% and 22%, and like even like a, you know, if he can get to like 19 or 20% fly ball rate, you would think that that home run total could be closer to 20 with how hard he hits the ball, how well he hits the ball. So, kind of crazy how all of his home runs are like center or opposite field. Strange.
Yeah.
His spray chart looks like a righty. It is insane.
It's the highest flare and burner rate of his career, and his highest opposite field rate of his career.
What a weird career, like right?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is and it's weird because you think of like those adages. It's like, you know, the greatest indicator of, you know, someone's ability to do something is if they've done it in the past. And it's like no one else benefited more from like a launch angle change, you know? Yeah. And it's like, how could it be that hard to look at film or remember what your coach has worked with you on?
Who would have thought, you know, the answer to fixing Yelich was like, okay, go oppo on everything.
Right.
Like what? Yeah. Baseball is so weird.
It is a strange game. You gotta love it. So yeah, we'll have our popcorn here. But for a guy who is starting to feel like we knew who he was, he surprised us again, and we gotta give him credit there. So let's hear your second outfielder, Steve.
I went with an under Harold. Maybe this deserves a bit of a deep dive. You know, I don't know how real it is, but Lane Thomas. Quietly been a five category stud.
He was my third, dude.
There we go.
I cannot believe that.
I only went with two, so I'm glad we evened out on one. Maybe that could allow us to get the pitchers a little quicker. But 302, 370, 347, 497, 14 homers, 8 steals, 60 runs, 49 RBIs. So amazing counting totals on a horrible team. right? The 73rd outfielder drafted, 305 ADP, essentially free in drafts. Honestly surprised and impressed that he had a 305 ADP. Glad that there were people smart enough to be in on him. It's so hard. It's so hard because people were so in on Lane Thomas after that impressive 2021, and he was so bad last year. I liked him a lot in 2022. I have him in a league that I picked him up off the wire. He sat out there in the wire for way too long in my home league, and probably did in a lot of other leagues too, but he has been awesome. People that were patient with him and still believed after the disappointing year last year, hats off to you. He is definitely a first half fantasy all-star.
Yeah, the XBA is up from last year, but I'm trying to see of his kind of underlying metrics, like what has changed all that much. Cause like
seems like a sell, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But I guess the hard hit rate's up 7%, which is substantial.
Yeah.
And the barrel rate's up a little bit. So, yeah, he's definitely getting the most out of, kind of his underlying metrics. But, you know, just a 45% ground ball rate is good.
When people liked him in 2021, right? That was the year he had it wasn't because of his Statcast page, right? It was a 7.3% barrel rate, a hard hit rate of 45.7%, right? Like that was pretty good, but it was a small sample. And then it regressed last year to 34.5, which was concerning. And then back up, like you said, this year to 41.4. So good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good one. And it's not, like you said, it might be a sell. But
yeah.
Did you put a DH, Steve? Because I threw one in there.
I did not, but give it to me.
Well, similar to some of the other ones where I just kind of feel like it's time to give him the flowers. Adelis Garcia.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, this guy!
He's an outfielder. I didn't have an outfielder, so
there we go. Yeah, he'll be your third. So, yeah. Garcia, it's just like how many years in a row can we doubt what he's doing? And I know the ADP has been responding. This year it was a 56 ADP, so it still cost you like a fourth round pick. However, a 261 average, 848 OPS is kind of what you expect. But the 23 homers, 6 steals. And the counting stats with the Rangers, 69 runs and a league-leading 75 RBI. What's of note for Garcia is the K rate's actually down 3% this year, and the walks are up 3%. And it's the third season in a row that he's just been an absolute fantasy stud. And at age 30, I think it's time for us to start looking at this guy, especially with that offense, as like a third-round, maybe late second round guy. Like, if he keeps this up, and I have no reason to think that he won't, this will be three straight years of kind of defying everyone saying that Garcia is a fade. So just wanted to shout him out and kind of check the temperature on if you're coming around here, Steve, especially with the plate discipline gains.
Another guy who could be an honorary WAF All-Star, fantasy All-Star. Randy Rosarena,
another one we've doubted.
Think because of pitcherless player pages and Statcast player pages and fan graphs and our obsession with plate discipline, like these guys, there is a market deficiency in these guys that we just constantly fade because their plate skills aren't great. But there are many ways to skin a cat, right? That's a phrase that's.
That's a phrase. It's a weird one.
Horrible phrase. I don't even have a cat. I know you guys do, but why would you want to?
Yeah,
or skin a sheep. Skin a sheep. That's the
shear,
phrase.
You can shear a sheep many times. All right,
which is
skin it only once.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Both not good phrases. Those shouldn't be used. Don't shave your cat or anything like that. No. We are pro cat podcast. There's different ways to get to success, and I think that those guys are written off. And sure, maybe you don't want to be the one caught holding holding the hot potato when they do fade, because plate discipline guys do fall off quicker, but I don't know if we need to be as concerned with like the top end Randy Rosarena, Adelis Garcia guys, because they're just that good.
Yeah, agree. I mean, Garcia, he was one that I did grab in that the Raz Slam league that I keep bragging about until I get knocked out. Yeah, and I like those guys who are, you know, the plate discipline question marks, because when they do have their production, it usually comes in bunches. So small note there. And maybe a learning note is just of the guys who go off, even if they have some strikeout issues, as long as they've proven that they can do it, like maybe it's a reason to not run away from Josh Jung next year in drafts, you know? And I know it's like hindsight 2020 and everything, but yeah, it's just, we've got to reconcile that Garcia and Rosarena are making us think twice about kind of the typical industry thing. We are going to get to pitchers here, and we got three each, but we got to take our second ad break, and we'll be right back after this. Okay, so Steve, here we are on pitchers. I'll let you kind of set us off with the first one.
Your boy, who I think has been the best pitcher all around from start to finish, all things considered, you know, blow-ups, tough stretches, that's Kevin Gausman. I think he has been the best pitcher. I think credit to us, we said that he has the ability to be the number one pitcher this year. And I think he has been 115 innings, 32.6% walk strikeout rate, 6.2% walk rate. Just amazing, amazing season so far for him. A 3.03 ERA. I think he's pitched better than that. There's been like one or two starts where he gave up like five or six runs. But he has just been absolutely everything that you could have ever hoped for.
The K's is the best K's part, too, Steve.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, how many? I'm looking at the total. Strikeouts. Yeah, I'm looking for the total just because I look at rates so much, and that's my custom Fangraphs leaderboard. But amazing.
Yeah, he's got 153 strikeouts and 115 innings. And yeah, the 113 whip, you're right that he's probably had the most, I don't even know how you would qualify, like, ace starts, but yeah, he's had a 12 strikeout outing with one earned run. He has a 13 strikeout outing with one earned run. He's got another 13 strikeout outing with no earned runs. He's got two 11
seven double digit strikeout outings.
Yeah, so and every third of his like starts. Only one of those has he given up like more than one earned run or something ridiculous. There have been a couple of banana peel starts, which is a little frustrating, but I think also what's been really frustrating and should change is because I've got him in my home league. He's gotten some tough luck on the run support, where his record is just 7-5. He's had, you know, a couple like losses where he's looked really, really good. And you're like, what the heck? Like against the Giants, June 26th, 12 strikeouts, one earned run, and he gets a loss there in six innings. So yeah, I think as long as the Blue Jays can kind of do what their offense should, there's no reason this shouldn't be like a high teens win total. And yeah, he should cruise to like 240 strikeouts. So yeah, I love that one. I did not have it on the list, but for Gausman, his ADP was 61. So he was going after pitchers like Julio Urias, Zach Wheeler, Christian Javier, who I know we both love. That's been a shocker. But even like Shane Bieber. Yeah, it just felt like, and again, credit to PLV, because that was one of the things that really opened my eyes to how unlucky Gausman got last year. So I will definitely be looking at hit luck from PLV as a sleeper indicator in the offseason this year. So yeah, we'll see if his my bold prediction was that he would outpitch Gerrit Cole. And I don't know. It might all depend on what the details were on that one. I think it might have been like the Razzball player rater or something. But I'm plugging another one of my guys, Steve, and we've talked about him plenty. And we don't have to go in too much depth. But another one that was the ADP was in the 120s was Blake Snell, who obviously kind of the tale of two seasons, but in the past month, he's been the best pitcher in baseball. 36 innings and 63 strikeouts in the past month with a 0.7 ERA and a 0.86 whip. And the season line is a 2.85 ERA. The 1.22 whip is not ideal, but he already has 132 strikeouts and 98 innings for Snell. And I think this is a value more than anything. It's less about what he's already done, and it's more about the fact that he's tapped into that Blake Snell mode where I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Steve? Rest of the year, like, we saw him when he got locked in like this last year, just cruise to the finish line. Do you think we're going to get, like, topsy-turvy Snell the rest of the way, or do you think that, like, this is it?
No, I don't think so. I think he, like, tinkers and figures something out and struggles, and then, like, it just works. I think that Blake Snell, you should just go out and trade for, like, every May or June.
Yeah, exactly.
After a slow start. So it just takes some guys a little bit. I don't see, you know, maybe it won't be a 2.85 ERA the best way, but I like Steamer's 3.35 ERA with, you know, 11.5 strikeouts per nine. Like, yeah, sign me up.
He's a good one. That was the one. I was a little upset. My brother snagged him in our underdog fantasy draft on last week's episode.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
as a reminder, if you guys didn't, we'll plug it quick. But through All-Star break, the drafts are still open. So it's kind of last call for you guys to go out and sign up for the seventh inning stretch tournament on the Underdog Fantasy app. We did the live draft last week on our podcast. It was a great show. But you got to get in, guys. It's just $7 to enter the tournament. And it's a best ball format, so it will optimize your fantasy team the rest of the season. You don't need to set lineups or make any adds or drops. It's a deep bench, and it just puts in your highest scoring lineup automatically. And $7 entry, $30,000 first place prize, and a total of $150,000 in prizes. Just a lot of fun. Format's fun. And if you guys use the code PITCHERLIST, all one word, you can receive 100% deposit match up to $100. Just the mandatory disclaimer, you must be 18 years or older, 19 and older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 and older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. And in Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. So, Steve, we got two more pitchers left each, correct? Or did you add? Correct. Did you go a reliever as well?
No, I didn't, but I have a few names.
Yeah, you deserve a name in there. So we'll get there. But my next one is actually the pitcher who is replacing Kevin Gausman in the All-Star game. It's Mr. Pablo Lopez, and I can't even really say that we were too early on this one, because I feel like when I was in on Pablo Lopez, it was like 4 years ago, and then he gave up like 10 runs in a first inning, and I kind of have never healed from that wound
when he was on my team. I know exactly where I was when that happened.
Me too. I was in my mom's driveway, and it wrecked my week, and it might have wrecked my whole
summer. It was a Friday night versus the Mets. And, like, all my ratios were close. I was on the bus on the way down from the city to the Jersey Shore. Just, like, melting as that start.
Watching it's that an instant the screenshot MLB and text app. The league.
Yeah,
your eyes, like, pop out. Yeah. So Pablo Lopez has come a long way since then. And despite feeling like a veteran, still 27 years old. And it feels like the season where Pablo Lopez is on this ascent, almost Christian Javier-esque, where some of the strikeout numbers are so eye-popping. On the season so far, he has 138 Ks in 111 innings, a 3.89 ERA, a 1.09 whip, which is really nice. And yeah, I just really like what we're seeing with Lopez. In terms of the pitch mix, he's ramped up the curveball. It's just like, looking at Lopez now, I guess where do you place him, Steve? Like, is this an SP2-3 range for you? I know you're a fan of him. I could see myself having a lot of shares next year.
it's like I would be kind of comfortable if like I double tapped on SP2s that he was my best pitcher, you know?
Like, yeah, one of those.
Comfortable with him as an SP1 sort of thing, where it's like Pablo Lopez is your best pitcher. It's like, well, yeah, because he has a 14.6% swing strike rate and a 30.4% CSW, and strikes out 11 guys per 9 innings. So, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Enough said on Lopez. And, yeah, it's cool that he'll get a chance to be an all-star this year. So
well-deserved.
Let's hear your second pitcher, Steve.
Mitch Keller. Another value. I know things have been not as great recently, but still overall, 117 innings, 9.2 K per 9. That's a 26.7 K rate, just 7% walk rate. It's kind of become the pitcher that, you know, we all hope Mitch Keller could become when, you know, we were in on him when we saw the pitching lab videos of him touching 100. He's looked really, really good this year, and I think is well-deserving of at least the first half All-Star. You know, maybe there's some regression. There already has been. He's up to a 333 ERA, whereas that number started with a 2 for most of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm taking the under on what the projections have. All of them are around the low 4s ERA. I think he can kind of be what his line is, like a strikeout per inning, mid-3s ERA. You know, the swing and miss stuff isn't quite there, just an 8.8% swing strike rate. So that's always a little concerning when the swing strike rate doesn't match up exactly with the CSW, with the strikeout rate. But, you know, there's other ways to do it. And Mitch Keller's got good stuff and, you know, gets a lot of called strikes. I think even though it might not be the obvious go out there and get him, I wouldn't have as much faith in him as Pablo Lopez next year. Mm-hmm. But I still like Keller a lot. You know, he's a fastball cutter guy, so maybe it's fastball cutter sinker, so like 3 different fastballs. That could be, you know, part of the reason why the whiffs aren't there. Those aren't swing and miss pitches. But he could be still tough to hit just with deception and tunneling, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, in terms of the value, 6 for
pitches
these guys,
too. 6 pitches.
Yeah, the sweeper. He introduced the sweeper in 21. I know it's kind of right around average in terms of swing and miss, but like deep arsenal, you'll take it. And kind of speaks volumes for the fact that he is doing it for the Pirates. I think with the exception of Musgrove, and that was even brief, you know, this is probably the most prolonged success of like any Pirates pitcher for the first half of the season. But
maybe,
yeah,
like
it would be
Francisco,
nice to see
Francisco Liriano in like 2014,
right? Yeah, Edison Volquez or something. We're getting into the immaculate grid now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Keller was, his ADP was 370, so the deepest of leagues. And then Pablo Lopez was much higher, but still an absolute deal. You got him at 167 in March. Going behind pitchers like Luis Garcia on the Astros. Who else was above him? Charlie Morton, Drew Rasmussen, Dustin May. But, yeah, when you look at some of these guys we didn't even mention.
Yeah, you take him, right?
Yeah, you take Keller. I mean, it's part of its health a little bit there. But,
yeah,
it goes to show that our theory this year of, like, the middle class of pitching – and I know that was the whole industry. It wasn't unique to WAF, but like if you hammered that middle class of pitching with like Joe Ryan and, you know,
my next
health
all-star
pending, like Jeffrey Springs, Rasmussen. Oh, okay. Joe Ryan is the next all-star. All right. Well, yeah, I'll save mine for last.
You're so Steve, you're so good at transitions. You don't even know.
Accidental segues. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Talk to me about Joe Ryan, 'cause he's on my home league. So I'm here for that content.
Another guy who's been a little bit rough recently, at least with the home runs. I know today he gave up like 5 runs, but there was 10 strikeouts and like no walks with it. So, mm-hmm. You know, the long ball is coming to bite him a bit, more in line with last year after he really, really trimmed that down in the beginning of the season and had like a sub-3 ERA. But like the whiffs and strikeouts are just amazing with Ryan. You know, maybe because it's not like the overpowering fastball, it's more of the deceptive fastball that when guys do get a hold of it, there might always be a lingering home run problem there, but those are going to be solos, and I think that there's probably going to be a bit of regression in the 10.5% homer to fly ball rate that should come down a little bit. Left on base rate is a little low too, nothing crazy. But Ryan's swing and miss stuff is just there, and like he's been amazing for the first half. 28% strikeout rate, 3.4 ERA, even with those few rough starts recently. I think he's like a super solid, like same category as Pablo Lopez. I think I would put him in. Like if Lopez and Ryan were my two pitchers next year, like I'm comfortable with that. Like these guys just miss enough bats that, despite their very, very minor flaws, I think they're still really, really good pitchers.
For sure. I believe in the organization too. Mm-hmm. I think the Twins, I know we talked about Wes Johnson, the coach, pitching coach there, probably top, what, 5 to 10 in terms of pitching development. I know Sonny Gray, Paddock before he got injured was looking good with the TJ. So, yeah.
Bailey Ober.
Ober, yeah, another really good one.
And
so
could have
I
been
think,
an all-star too as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think across the board, we're kind of sleeping on what the Twins are able to do with guys. So.
Agree.
And even some of the other names we didn't mention. Who's the youngster who's looked good this year?
Varland.
Louis Varland.
There's been some rough spots there, but people like his stuff. Let's curiously go off topic and see how he's been doing in the minors since he was sent down a few weeks ago. Bear with me here for this bad radio.
While you're pulling that up, Ober's a great one of note because, yeah, the past month he's had over a strikeout per inning with a 2.61 ERA and a 0.97 whip. So, like, look out with the Twins pitching. I don't know what the rest of their farm looks like, but, you know, it's my shameless Cardinals plug at the trade deadline coming up. Let's tap into some Twins pitching.
He's had two okay starts, one bad start where he gave up 6 runs. Actually two bad starts. So a 5-run, 6-run, then 3 runs.
So maybe not five the farm. Guys too, maybe so. Not the farm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but Varland's been, yeah, there. I wouldn't give up on him essentially just because of this micro.
Okay,
sample.
Well, let me see if you can guess my last one to round us out here, Steve. It is actually the best pitch coach team in the majors is my hint, and a value pitcher for the best pitching team in the majors.
The best pitching team in the majors, a value pitcher.
Start with the team. What team? I'll tell you yes or no on the team. What team is routinely the best at pitching?
The Astros? I don't know who could be a...
It's not the Astros. Okay. It's a valid argument.
Huh.
I'll give you another hint. Okay. You grabbed one of their pitchers in your underdog fantasy and kind of regretted it a little bit because he was on the IL.
Okay. So the Rays, McClanahan was there, but he's looking better. It looks like he's making the first start after the All-Star break.
So Rays' value pitcher is...
Rasmussen got hurt. Springs got hurt.
Flying under the radar a little bit.
Eflin.
Zach Eflin is my final one with an ADP of 267. We were digging Eflin in the home stretch. We felt like he was a wide awake sleeper, and it's looked great so far with 97 innings, exactly 100 strikeouts, a 3.24 ERA, one whip, and 9-4 in terms of the record with how good the Rays are. So Eflin, he introduced a curve in 2021 and was it like a 10% usage with that? It's now his second most used pitch, up close to 30%, and has 95th percentile on swinging strike rate for that curveball with a 20.8% swinging strike rate. Just love what Eflin's doing here. I think he's still got a lot of years left in terms of mileage. I believe Eflin's only 30 or 31, but love this one. And again, I think this is a guy that's been a huge boost to any fantasy team that's had him. He's another guy that's been on that best ball league that's going so well for me. So had to shout out Zach Eflin as my final value all-star here.
Yeah, love it. I wish I had more shares. We have him in our dynasty league, I think, which has been needed because our pitching is our biggest area of need there. But glad we have him for sure.
Yeah, just a 3.9% walk rate for Eflin. Steve, if you'd like, you can talk about a relief pitcher for the value all-star because you've been all over Alexis Diaz for couple years, and it's pretty cool that Edwin was probably the best closer last year, and Alexis Diaz is arguably the best closer this year. But yeah, I'm assuming that was one that you were saying you were gonna shout out with.
Definitely,
his ADP was where maybe like 152 overall.
Yeah, nothing like getting drafting a you know a closer who is going to go in like the top 50 next year, especially you know 30 in NFBC leagues. At pick 150, it seems to happen every year, and I think you know it's kind of why somewhat fade relief pitching. Like you could find the guys with the good strikeout rates that should have a role. 26 saves already. Like my God, that is absolutely awesome. Wish I had more.
And
shares.
What his K numbers are insane too. Like
yeah,
I think
37.4% strikeout rate. Walk rate's a little high, but you know doesn't really matter too much when you strike out close to 40% of the guys that you face. So,
yeah, 2.03 ERA, 1.03 mm-hmm. WHIP, 61 strikeouts in 40 innings, and like you said, the 26 saves. So, Alexis Diaz has been a monster. So, any closing notes, Steve? I know we ran long, but obviously a blast to go through the first half. Fantasy value all-stars, man. It's like this content never gets old for me.
No, this is fun. I'm glad we did it. And hopefully put a different spin on it. It was fun to be able to reveal our list to each other. Lexidia leads the league in saves. Crazy. 26 saves. Duvall also has 26. Then Romano and Class A at 25. So, probably Duvall might have been around that ADP, but
I was looking at him. He was up a little bit higher.
Yeah,
107 compared to the 157.
Yep,
or whatever
it was. A few rounds later for Diaz. That's great stuff. But yes, it's fun. And hey, I just the underdog stuff to go back to that like. Another reason why I can't wait for the games again on Friday to get back in and have a new league that's starting. I probably, in these next few days when there's no baseball, I am definitely going to do at least one more seventh inning stretch.
Underdog draft? Yeah. Oh, that's a great call because I got some airport time the flight to San Diego. Yeah. So, we'll be texting for sure. And you guys... As always, feel free to reach out to us if you guys want a topic or a player covered, anything like that. We are happy to include it. You guys can follow us on Twitter and reach out to us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I'm at Van_verified. Steve is at Stav8818. We don't have a Threads yet for our show, but we'll let you guys know if and when that comes. Till then, take a well-needed breather and enjoy the beauty of the game. Hopefully you guys already did with the All-Star break, but last call on Underdog Fantasy, and we'll talk to you in one short week.
Thanks, guys. Later.